over.
Who controls the past, controls the future. Who controls the present, controls the past.
The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat al-Qaeda.
All you got to do is start looking around, start thinking for yourself, start investigating things, and you will see it all right there. So you have the power. Humanity has the power. We have the power. Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
As for me, give me liberty or give me death!
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Melissa Melton, on this Thursday, March 7th, 2013 edition. And let's take a look at what's coming up.
Tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News, Bill Gates confronted about his eugenics agenda. Plus, a green light on drone strikes for American citizens on U.S. soil. Then, Eric Holder admits some banks are too big to prosecute. All that and more on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Yesterday, I ventured out to the University of Texas campus with fellow reporter David Ortiz, and we decided to infiltrate a closed Bill Gates speech. It was a tightly controlled situation. It had been a waiting list for months. We found a way to get inside, and I decided to go ahead and ask him a question. This special report actually premiered today on the radio, but we're going to go ahead and play that for you now. And it's actually up also on YouTube. It's entitled, Bill Gates Confronted on His Eugenics Vaccine Program That Has Crippled Nearly 50,000 Indian Children.
On a global basis, why I'm in the United States is the envy of other countries, because it's able to try out things, innovative and diverse things, although with a very high failure rate, although not with a success rate to really come up with big breakthroughs.
I'm Melissa Melton reporting for the InfoWars Nightly News. Multiple overseas media outlets have reported on the fact that polio vaccines linked to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and his Gavi Alliance have on record caused nearly 48,000 children in India to suffer neurological damage and become permanently paralyzed. Most recently, over 50 African children from Chad also began convulsing after receiving a Gates Foundation-funded meningitis vaccine that specifically targets African people. Those children, some as young as 7, have also subsequently become paralyzed. Yesterday, Bill Gates appeared at a highly controlled speaking engagement to address computer science majors at his new Bill and Melinda Gates Computer Science Complex building on the University of Texas campus. I was able to purchase a ticket from a student and attend the meeting. Though no cameras or recording equipment were allowed inside the meeting, fellow reporter David Ortiz was able to capture a live stream being fed to an adjacent room. When the floor got opened for questions, I decided to ask Mr. Gates a real one.
Ms. Melton with InfoWars, what do you say to critics who claim your global vaccination program is nothing more than a eugenics program?
A huge...
eugenics. Over 48,000 children in India have been paralyzed due to polio vaccines linked to your foundation.
No. I mean, nothing has saved more lives than vaccination. The key figure that we think about in terms of what we're prioritizing is the tragic death of young people. But if you go back to about the time I was born, more than 20 million kids under 5 were dying every year. Smallpox, measles, a variety of things. By 1990, even though the number of children were up because the population growth had gone up, that number had come down from over 20 million to about 12 million. And because of the work that the foundation has been at the center of, we now got that down from 12 million to less than 7 million. And the goal is to get it down to well under 3 million, by which time the disparity between what happens with poor children and what happens with rich children will have largely been eliminated. So, vaccines are about saving lives, improving lives. There's no better tool that mankind's ever invented for absolutely those things. And, polio The whole idea is to reduce to zero the number of kids who are being paralyzed. And it's during between now and 2018, if things go well, we expect that will become the second disease ever eradicated. Smallpox, back in the 1970s, by 1979, that was certified as the very first and so far the only disease that has been eradicated. So we're pretty close on polio, but what it's about is every year having less and less kids who either die or are paralyzed. Last year it was 232.
Not only did Bill Gates fail to directly answer my question, but let's review. Mr. Gates' father was a known eugenicist and the head of Planned Parenthood. He admits in this clip from a 2003 PBS interview with Bill Moyers that he likes to focus on population control.
One issue that really grabbed me as urgent were issues related to population, reproductive health.
But did you come to reproductive issues as an intellectual?
When I was growing up, my parents were always involved in various volunteer things. My dad was head of Planned Parenthood. And it was very controversial to be involved with that.
He went on to say, and maybe the most interesting thing I learned is this thing that's still surprising when I tell other people, which is that as you improve health in a society, population growth goes down. In the past, Mr. Gates has openly advocated withholding end-of-life care to the elderly and using those funds to instead hire more teachers.
And so the access that used to be available to the middle class or whatever is just rapidly going away. That's a trade-off society is making because of very, very high medical costs and a lack of willingness to say, you know, is spending $1 million on that last 3 months of life for that patient, would it be better not to lay off those 10 teachers? That's called the death panel, and you're not supposed to have that discussion.
And he's also announced that the goal of vaccines is to reduce the population by 10 to 15%.
So let's look at each one of these and see how we can get this down to zero. Probably one of these numbers is going to have to get pretty near to zero. Now, that's back from high school algebra. But let's take a look. First, we've got population. Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
So what does it matter if 48,000 children suffered permanent neurological damage and were paralyzed if it's in the name of philanthropy? But the problem is these vaccines have actually been shown to cause the very diseases they're supposed to prevent. Bill Gates is a billionaire technocrat obsessed with population control and the idea that vaccinating the world is doing, in his words, God's work. But who's God and at what cost? Trading lives for lives? What kind of world is that? When we devalue one human life, we devalue everyone's life. For InfoWars Nightly News, I'm Melissa Melton.
Polio, the whole idea is to reduce to zero.
Probably one of these numbers is going to have to get pretty near to zero.
And as you can see, Bill Gates never actually answered my question. He never addressed the fact that nearly 48,000 children in India, and that's just in India, other countries have had this problem with other vaccines of his foundation, but he never answered my question as to why they're being paralyzed. And his quote actually said there at the beginning of my report, philanthropy in the U.S. has other countries beat because we're able to try out innovative things, although with a very high failure rate, with enough of a success rate to come up with some big breakthroughs. So again, very high failure rate, but enough of a success rate we can have some breakthroughs. He's trading lives for lives. And they're spending millions of dollars, hundreds of millions, into these vaccines that are paralyzing and killing children all over the developing world. And I think it's interesting, investigative journalist Christina England says, why have major organizations spent $571 million on a vaccination project when wells to provide access to clean drinking water, something that could really change these people's lives, affect them all in a very positive way, have been constructed for less than $3,000 by the International Committee of the Red Cross? So they could spend chump change and just change these people's lives with fresh, clean drinking water that would change their lives. But instead, he's spending hundreds of millions of dollars in vaccinations that are killing him. It's something to think about. So we need to get this video out to everyone so you can see that he will not address the fact that his vaccine programs are killing people. And by the way, some people like to mention that TED Talks, at the TED Talk, he was talking about putting carbon emissions down. Yeah, this guy here, his speeches to say that the number needs to be zero is carbon emissions. I don't understand. Well, understand that we inhale oxygen and exhale carbon. Plants breathe carbon. If the plants die, we die. We're still dead. It's still population control. It doesn't matter which number gets to zero. We're going to die. That's what he meant, all right? Moving on. The Senate committee prepares final solution on Second Amendment. The Senate committee prepares fusillade aimed at Second Amendment. Apparently, they plan today to mark up and prepare for debate a number of bills attacking the Second Amendment because everyone's got to get their jab in there on the Constitution. Among them, Charles Schumer's calling for universal background checks and, short, universal firearms registration with the future prospect of confiscation. Leahy is proposing to combat illegal gun trafficking, and Barbara Boxer is focused on gun safety, which is a euphemism used to make heavy-handed and unconstitutional gun control seem preferable to a literal reading of the Second Amendment. And the Second Amendment, the attacks on our Constitution, they just keep coming. Now we also have new attacks on our Second Amendment as Rand Paul is determined to take a stand against tyranny while Obama is claiming the power to just kill us with drones. Apparently, this is coming from Mike Adams from Natural News. Apparently, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul took a stand against tyranny by enduring a long filibuster on the floor of the Senate. And as of the writing of this article, Mike Adams says the filibuster was well over 10 hours long and running. And the battle lines have been drawn. The Obama administration considers the entire United States to be a battleground where he can selectively choose when and where citizens have constitutional protections. And the scary thing, Mike Adams points out, he goes on to say, is that not a single Democrat in our U.S. Senate is opposing President Obama murdering American citizens on U.S. soil. So those are the people that we've voted into office. There are elected civil public servants, and now they don't even care. They're like, no, I'm not even going to, I have nothing to say about that. That's just fine, apparently. And, you know, another argument that's been made is that Obama has no intention of doing this. And I think that goes along real well with how they never imagined that buildings could be hit by terrorists taking over planes and running them into buildings on 9/11, even though it was happening that day in a drill. So he just has no intention. Right. So we're supposed to all feel pretty good about President Obama and his intentions. Great. And moving on with that, CNN is now suggesting that Rand Paul was wasting time with the filibuster. We actually have a clip.
Senator Paul, drones on and on and on.
I can be done anytime if I could just get a response from the administration or from the attorney general saying that they do not believe they have the authority to kill non-combatants in America.
So isn't he just holding everybody up?
The reason it has to be answered is because our foreign drone strike program does kill non-combatants. Now, they may argue that they're conspiring or that they may someday be combatants, but if that's the same standard we're going to use in the United States, it's a far different country.
You gotta love that CNN anchor, and on, and on. I just want to say, and get a dictionary. It's called a filibuster. That's what it is. The reason he's filibustering is because he hasn't had an answer to the question yet. That's the whole purpose of the filibuster, to keep things held up. Why is she in such a rush to be struck down by a drone? I don't get that. I don't understand. And in this story, it continues that Holder said it was possible under extraordinary circumstances that drones could be used to kill Americans domestically, and the refusal to rule those out were the very reason why Rand Paul went into the filibuster. And I don't care if he has to stand up there for 25 hours and sing the alphabet song. As long as it means he gets an answer to that question, that's what he should do. That's why we have those things in place. I'm glad he did it. At least somebody is. Jeez, it's like crazy land. And moving on, it's now clear Obama intends to use drone strikes to kill American journalists and political enemies. This is again from Mike Adams of Natural News. And he's talking about the 16-page memo that was just released by Obama's lawyers in the Department of Justice that essentially legalizes the president acting as a serial murderer. I mean, he's been doing it anyway in other countries, but, you know, now he's going to do it here. And it claims to justify that this was intentionally written to include Americans on U.S. soil as potential targets. What targets is he talking about? Well, Mike Adams goes on to list a few here. Journalists, political opponents, anti-government protesters, online activists, veterans, gun owners and gun shops, and constitutionalists and libertarians. Oh, my. It's everybody. It's a whole huge list of people there's on here. And really, this issue needs to unite us all. Because here at InfoWars, we're constantly telling you about the tyranny that's enveloping our globe and our nation. We tell you about how GMO can cause your family to have tumors. It's shown tumors in rats. It's shown to cause cancer. You don't have to believe us on that when we show you. You don't have to believe us that fluoride can cause brain damage. You don't have to believe us when we show you the proof that they're paying millions of dollars to spray chemtrails in the air. But here they're openly admitting that you, your family, and every American citizen in this country now has a drone strike target on their back. They're openly telling you that. We're not telling you that. They are. They're admitting it right here. So this is very important information. It affects every single person in this country, and we need to get this out to everybody. This is so, so important. They're throwing our Constitution completely out the window. And actually, we do have some breaking news. Apparently, Holder did finally reply to Rand. Let's see what he said here. Attorney General Eric Holder says, does the president have the authority to use a weaponized drone to kill an American not engaged in combat on American soil? The answer to that question is no. And as you can see there, he couldn't just say no. He couldn't just say nope. He doesn't have that authority. He had to qualify it by saying in combat on American soil. Well, we already know the NDAA, has basically made the entire country a battleground. So we're already technically in combat, and our government's already in unconstitutional wars across the ocean. They're already drone striking people everywhere else. They've drone struck American citizens in other countries. So, well, thank you, Mr. Holder, but nobody takes any comfort in the thing that you just said. That's terrifying. And actually, he's now throwing all appearance of justice just completely out the window. It's totally ridiculous. In this next story, he's admitting that some banks are just too big to prosecute. So he's making this rather startling confession and testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee on Wednesday. And he actually said he's concerned the size of some of these institutions become so large that it does become difficult for us to prosecute them when we're hit with indications that if you do prosecute, if you do bring a criminal charge, it'll have a negative impact on the national economy. So what he's doing is he's giving these banks free rein. He made this rather startling confession and testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee on Wednesday, and he just said that he's concerned the size of some of the institutions are so large it becomes difficult to prosecute because it could have a negative impact on the economy. And he's basically just giving free rein to these banks. I don't even know what to say to that. I don't even know how to really respond to that. He's openly telling these institutions that they're not going to be held liable for whatever they do because they're just too big to prosecute. So they can just have free rein. They're not going to be accountable. They can do whatever they want. And it's absolute power corrupts absolutely. And Eric Holder needs a dictionary too because he obviously does not know what the word justice even means. And now we're going to take you to a special update from Alex Jones. He's tried to go on vacation, but there's just so much going on. He could not stay away. He had to bring this information to you. It's very, very important.
Alex Jones here reporting for InfoWars.com. The report I'm about to break down is the story of our time. It is the coming super crisis that we've already begun to enter the edge of that will affect every man, woman, and child watching this report more than any other single set of events in your lifetime. Many a historian and philosopher have pointed out that there are times in history when more happens in a decade or even a year than happened in the previous 100. We are entering that quickening, but because of technological developments, it's going to be compounded and even more explosive. This story illustrates the crossroads, the choice we have. So please, please, if you care about liberty, if you care about your future, listen very carefully because this illustrates everything. DrudgeReport.com, covering the incredible filibuster of Rand Paul, comparing the government to the Hitlerian takeover, the drones, the NDAA, the secret arrest, the NATO command of our military, comparing it to an authoritarian takeover. That's what it is. But people historically don't recognize an authoritarian takeover when it's happening. It's afterwards that you recognize it. That's why it's been said that those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. Now, going through this, Holder, Obama has authority to use drone strikes to kill Americans on U.S. soil. Now, remember, I've been covering this for the last decade, the buildup of domestic drone training, but it's accelerated the last 4 years or so. And you've seen Politico, you've seen Raw Story, you've seen Media Matters, an admitted front group of the White House, say that I'm a liar, none of this existed, even though it was in the FAA funding last year, early 2012, for $46 billion to launch 30,000 drones in America. That was in the Washington Post. But I got people concerned about it, and I said, look, this is an arms buildup against us. Why is this happening? What are they planning? Oh, Alex Jones is insane. There's no drones. And I'm going to show you those articles. Now, the good news here is because of InfoWars.com and because of DrudgeReport.com, give credit where credit's due, we forced the drones, the huge armored vehicles, the Stryker vehicles, the billions of bullets in the last 2 years out into the open and forced the debates. And via that debate, we have forced the so-called liberals, who are really authoritarians, to engage in incredible lies that have blown up in their face. Remember Robert Gibbs? I'm going to show you where that video is posted on InfoWars.com in a moment. Came out 2 weeks ago and said, look, I was ordered to deny a drone program that was on record to exist. This is like Wizard of Oz. It's the same with all of this. They said last year, when it was only a billion bullets, that, oh, Alex Jones is making it up. They bought 200,000 bullets. And they would show one line item out of the billion plus to make it look like I was lying, counting on you to not go to the Federal Register. And I know the media has always lied. In the last 50 years or so, they've gotten worse. But, I mean, this is like saying the sun didn't come up in the morning, or the Dallas Cowboys aren't owned, you know, by a guy from Oklahoma, Jerry Jones, and the Dallas Cowboys aren't based in Dallas, Texas. I mean, it's that over the top. And it's a psychological warfare tactic. And Gibbs has gone on to describe in articles that, well, it's just to put people off balance so that there can never be a real debate. Again, ladies and gentlemen, now it's over 2 billion bullets. And just in the last 2 days, Politico, Raw Story, Media Matters, and a bunch of others have come out. You can read it in this article. And have just said it doesn't exist. And that it was an internet rumor, an anonymous post. Ladies and gentlemen, the bullet story has even been in the AP and Reuters. But the White House organs are saying it doesn't exist. Now, continuing here, this is such an important article because if they'll lie about this while arming to the teeth and doing all this training, what is it, again, they're planning? Controlled economic implosion and the flipping from Homeland Security being for Al-Qaeda to American gun owners, conservatives, libertarians. And now all that's official. I'll show you articles on that front. I mean, think of the magnitude of this, and denying it will only let them take over and stage events and blame it on us. In false flags or provocateur events. Exposing it is our hope. And it's more than a hope. This is so outrageous. And there's now filibusters. It looks like we're starting to reach the beginning of a tipping point if you want it to be that tipping point. This is so incredibly important. I mean, look at this for those in denial. Washington Times, drones to hunt gun carriers in America for Homeland Security. That's weeks after we broke it in the Homeland Security training videos. Reuters, domestic drones are already reshaping U.S. crime fighting. I thought it didn't exist. I mean, Media Matters said it didn't. Here it is last year. Droning out the truth. And it just goes on to say Alex Jones, you know, is making all this up. The drones aren't surveilling you, which on record they were. But they did a bait and switch where they covered, oh, Cessnas with humans are surveilling you in this case. But, yeah, there are drones. Here it was a year before where they were using drones to surveil farmers and ranchers and arrest them. Now, here's this article. Army manual outlines plan to kill rioters, demonstrators in America. And people say, oh, that's InfoWars.com. That's your own reporting. As if InfoWars.com can't be trusted. Well, here's the PDF at army.mil. And you just click on that and you go read the civilian disturbance ops and how they process your social security numbers, how they confiscate your guns. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, you better read this. You better find out the Army War College is saying that the Tea Party is going to link up with Al-Qaeda and attack America. I mean, anybody who is Tea Party knows that's ridiculous. That's like saying, you know, Superman's going to join Lex Luthor, but they don't care. They're going to brand it. They're going to script it. This is the takeover. Because even though the Tea Party isn't perfect, they are still pro-sovereignty, anti-communist, and anti-tyranny on the surface. There's also a Media Matters article saying there's no FEMA Corps and there's no armored vehicles. They've bought thousands of these. We photographed them in Austin. Giant armored tanks, wheeled tanks that can take rocket attacks and mines. And then the FEMA Corps training, you can get into this Division of Secure Corps, and they admit in there that they are training for, quote, warrant service and to aid the police. In fact, right up here I've got images of the New York Times article where it shows the Boy Scouts training 3 years ago to, quote, take on disgruntled veterans. In fact, there's a photo of it from the New York Times right there. And that's under a division of FEMA Corps. But they just say it doesn't exist. Here's that New York Times article about it. Because when they're saying it's good, they'll admit it exists. But when we say it's bad, they go, no, it doesn't exist. It's a mind game. And it says, 10 minutes into errant mayhem in the town near the Mexican border, a gunman, a disgruntled Iraq war veteran, has already taken two people out. And it goes on about how they kill the veteran and confiscate the guns. That's the New York Times. Former Obama press secretary was ordered to act as if drone program did not exist. You've got to go watch this video because it just says it all. And he's not having a mea culpa. He's flaunting in your face that all of this is going on. Here's a clip of Gibbs.
Told me was, you're not even to acknowledge the drone program. You're not even to discuss that it exists. Wow. And so I would get a question like that, and literally I couldn't tell you what major asked, because once I figured out it was about the drone program, I realized I'm not supposed to talk about it. But here's what's inherently crazy about that proposition. You're being asked a question based on reporting of a program that exists.
Right.
So you're the official government spokesperson,
exactly,
acting as if the entire program, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Right.
When I went through the process of becoming press secretary, one of the first things they told me was.
Since you missed that first part, I replayed it. So there he is talking about a program that had been on record to exist for at least 8 years before Obama even got in office. For about 7.5 years, and he's telling you it doesn't exist. Okay? Now, folks, if you like playing along with being a schmuck, if you like playing along with being con, if you think you can choose your own reality and live in denial and believe their lies, you're crazy. The only way to choose your own reality is take destiny in your own hands and start admitting the reality they're creating. Remember, Karl Rove made similar statements to the New York Times about how they control reality now. It doesn't matter what the media says. They'll just make a new reality tomorrow, and the media will regurgitate it. There it is, right-wing extremists, as deadly as Al-Qaeda threat. And that's from last year. Now they say it's the number one threat. See, they're segueing. NDAA, secret arrest and disappearance of Americans. Now they're saying they'll use drones. Oh, but Alex, you're a fearmonger. There's not a domestic takeover. The Army admits they're training for gun confiscation. Oh, and that's another area of denial. I shot a video before I left town a few days ago about gun confiscation has begun, where they're raiding people in states that have banned semi-autos or over 7-round mags. They're arresting veterans, throwing the book at them with felonies. That's gun confiscation. It's being done incrementally, but that's gun confiscation. And that's how they get your guns. That's how they engage in this type of activity. There's an article about it right there. And the New York Post and others have been reporting on it. The New York Daily News is very excited about it. It says, you know, throw the book at these people. I mean, this is all going on. And the system just counts on you living in ignorance and buying into the fact that everything's okay. There is a system being built all around us of control. And the reason this is such a big story is that the globalists have overreached. This is so outrageous that if people just call them on their lies, it's over. It's game over. So I'm begging you to get this video, to get the articles you've seen here out to everyone you know. This is only the tip of the iceberg. And to awaken our society and our culture. because this could be the tipping point to reignite liberty, Rand Paul's filibuster and things that are happening. If we just recognize the tyranny for what it is and rebuke it and say no to it and admit that the nightmare that has plagued our species over and over again of tyrants taking over is happening again. I'll be live on the radio around noon calling in when Aaron Dykes is filling in on the show today, so please spread the word. The good news is we've been able to push this out into the mainstream and make people cover it and make them deny it and show that they're lying tyrants. The fact that they're building up weapons against us is bad enough, and there's an arms race. The fact that they're covering it up and using military tactics of stonewalling while now saying domestic groups that say they're tyrants or terrorists shows you just how serious this is. This is not a movie. This is not a drill. This nightmare is going to take over if we don't wake up from it and say no. Alex Jones signing off for InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, and PrisonPlanet.tv.
That's it for tonight's news portion, but when we come back, I'm actually going to be airing a special report I did. Over 100 women in India were sterilized recently and dumped open air in a field without any medical care. And when I saw that story, I was horrified. And I decided to investigate and do some research and find out exactly how something like that occurs. And what I ended up finding was over 60 years of a concerted globalist eugenics population control program. So that's coming up next. But first, let's go to the quote of the day. He alone who owns the youth gains the future. Adolf Hitler. Ugh. And if you like the information you're seeing here and you're watching this on YouTube, please go to PrisonPlanet.tv and subscribe. It's just $5.95 a month. It gets you 11 subscriptions. You get all of our nightly news, our special reports, movies, books. The Alex Jones Show is on there, all archived. And you can get this information out because, ladies and gentlemen, we really are living in some kind of crazy land.
Ja'Kari Jackson here, and I want to talk to you for a second about water. You know about ProPure, our flagship water purification system, but check out some of our portable water filter products at InfoWarsStore.com, the clearly filtered water pitcher. Also, for those of you on the go, we have the Athlete Edition filtered water bottle and the RAD Eliminator Pro filtered sports bottle that removes radiation. And keep in mind, we have replacement filters for all of these products. The ever-popular grab-and-go bag favorite, the Life Straw. The Crystal Quest shower filter system. And the Aquapod kit, great for mass storage of water. And while you're at the InfoWars shop, pick up a copy of our latest book, 31 Days to Survival. You can find all this and more at the InfoWarsStore.com. And don't forget, it's your support that funds our operation. Sign up for our free newsletter at InfoWars.com/newsletter.
One of the best ways to promote the Liberty message is not only by listening to Alex's show, but also by wearing shirts that promote the message. And as you can see right here on InfoWarsShop.com, we have this shirt right here. It says Tyrant, and it also has a message in the back. It says, come and take it. Here's another great t-shirt. Come and take it. We obviously know that the Second Amendment is under attack, and this is a great, subtle way to let the public know how you feel. We also have some great ladies shirts. You could see them right now. This one says InfoWars.com. There's a lot of female fans of the show. And we also have a female shirt that promotes the Second Amendment. Contrary to what some people might think, there are many females that love themselves some guns. And this is another great shirt that you can get. It's a camouflage shirt with InfoWars.com written across. And now you have a choice. Do you want to end the TSA or end the Fed? We also have this great army-style t-shirt, and this shirt, as well as many others, are available at InfoWarsStore.com. And last but not least, may the truth be with you. Obviously a reference to the Star Wars film. All these shirts are available at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars Magazine is more than just our answer to the Internet kill switch. We're also going back to the roots of this country. When our founders, for a decade before 1776, known as the pamphleteers, with hundreds of little printing presses in every colony, got out the real news, the real information, and countered the system. This is tailored, designed with the truth to wake up your friends and family. This is the 21st century version of the pamphleteers. So get them at InfoWarsShop.com or InfoWarsStore.com. Sign up and buy them in bulk. sign up and be a micro distributor for a full year to buy them in bulk and get one of the newsstands added, or sign up and get 12 issues delivered to your door, or give a gift subscription. Whatever you do, be part of the fight. And I want to salute and thank all of you that are subscribers and are getting the magazine in bulk, or who have ever come to InfoWarsStore.com and bought any of our products, because we are supported by patriots and liberty lovers like you. We couldn't do it without you.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen, and basically for over the last month, I've been doing some pretty hardcore research into the globalist population control agenda, and I was compelled to do this after a news story I saw that came out just last month all about how these women, 100 women in India, were sterilized and then dumped open air in a field without any medical care to just suffer there, like garbage. And I wondered, how could that possibly happen? And what I ended up finding was something much worse. Just a few weeks ago, a headline in the Daily Mail Online read, "Horror at mass sterilization camp in India as women are dumped unconscious in a field after painful operation. Just two doctors sterilized over 100 women in a single day."
Now news from Bengal. In a shocking case of medical negligence in Bengal's Malda district, two doctors sterilized 103 women in a day
and left them unconscious and without medical assistance in a neighboring field as part of a mass health drive. When I started this report, I just wanted to show how a horror like this could show up in today's news like it's just no big deal. I'm Melissa Melton reporting for InfoWars Nightly News. Sadly, stories like this coming out of India are not uncommon. But how did the country get to such a barbaric place? Covering the history of the last 50 years of family planning in India would be too broad and multifaceted a topic for one simple special report. But here are a few of the highlights that brought India to where it is today. 1952. India begins the world's first government-sponsored family planning program.
This is one of the few rural-based family planning programs in the state of Madras. It is directed by Joseph John's wife, Padma. Using posters and other aids, Padma describes the problem in personal terms, which the villagers can easily understand.
This same year, the Rockefeller Foundation creates the Population Council, and India becomes its first focus country. Throughout the 1950s, India's family planning program expanded rapidly, with a large increase in outside funding.
Fewer children mean more money, which means more food, better clothes and education, even more love. More love. More love.
Many organizations, from the United Nations World Health Organization to the Population Council to the Ford Foundation, carry out population control research programs throughout the country. The 1960s saw the Indian central government introduce method-specific family planning targets for each of India's states. And these targets are considered an incentive for family planning workers' job performance. Though incentives are paid to family planning personnel and family planning acceptors, the practice of using targets ultimately evolves into sterilization being the primary birth control method of India's program.
Once the women are convinced of the value of family planning, a medical doctor is brought into the program.
And sterilization coercion against the populace ensues. In 1960, the first mobile vasectomy camp appeared in the Indian state of Maharashtra, which sterilized over 15,000 people in a five-week period that year. The idea of contraceptive social marketing propaganda is developed. In 1965, the U.S. State Department begins a new population assistance program through USAID. Again, India is a focus. The UN and World Bank also send a population mission there, and the World Bank defines its program in terms of quotas. The country's family planning budget grows by 300%.
Family planning is as important as improved food production. More food will be canceled out by more people if the birth rate is not checked.
Robert Comer of the National Security Council tells President Lyndon B. Johnson, "You may want to consider ways and means of gradually using our foreign aid as more an incentive to major efforts in this field," that field being birth control. In that year alone, the Population Council also sent over 1 million intrauterine birth control devices, or IUDs, to India. In 1967, the United Nations founded UNFPA, a family planning trust that would later be called the Population Fund.
President Johnson has begun using food as foreign policy leverage. In his speech to Congress on the Food Aid for India Act, Johnson praises India on stepping up family planning. This leverage led to a campaign to get 29 million women to accept IUDs between 1965 and 1967. Johnson also declares, quote, "Nations with food deficits must put more of their resources into voluntary family planning programs." In 1970, the World Bank begins a family planning loan program under President Robert McNamara, a man who focused on kill ratios when he was Secretary of Defense during the Vietnam War. At this point, India is already on its way to becoming the World Bank's biggest debtor. In an interview with Baltimore Magazine, Alan Guttmacher, who served as president of Planned Parenthood and vice president of the American Eugenics Society, says, "If you're going to curb population, it's extremely important not to have it done by the damned Yankee, but by the UN. Because the thing is, then it's not considered genocide." Guttmacher previously endorsed coercive population control in India if voluntary means did not work. In 1973, UNESCO's Mass Media Family Planning and Development Study is released. India is one of its target countries. Through the use of school textbooks and mobile publicity vans, the program's stated objective is to reduce the Indian birth rate from 41.7 per 1,000 to 30 per 1,000 by 1977.
Dr. John Rock says,
"A society which practices death control must at the same time practice birth control."
The main slogan used in the campaign is, "Two or three children now, more never." India has already committed itself to the goal of reducing its population growth by 40%. In 1974, then National Security Advisor Henry Kissinger directs National Security Study Memorandum 200, and Kissinger advises that because population growth determines increases in food aid demand, allocation of such resources should consider what steps a country is taking to control their population. Would food be considered an instrument of national power, the document asks? Between 1975 and 1977, India Prime Minister Indira Gandhi declares a state of emergency in India. Population control becomes an urgent focus. People are jailed and some are even killed for resisting the family planning program. In the end, 8.3 million Indians are coercively or forcibly sterilized in camps in just 1 year. 1984. The World Bank releases a World Development Report advocating sterilization vans and camps in the Third World, possibly because of their success in India. The U.S. openly announces the key rationale behind its population assistance is to reduce fertility, claiming slowed population growth would raise economic development. 1988. The UN World Health Organization publishes its Phase 1 clinical trial of a birth control vaccine it created through a partnership called the Task Force on Vaccines for Fertility Regulation that also included the UNFPA and the World Bank. The trial adds the pregnancy hormone HCG to the tetanus toxoid vaccine, causing the female body to attack its own pregnancy hormones, effectively keeping women from getting pregnant and aborting those who already are. In 1995, it was found these vaccines had been given to Philippine women without their knowledge, and Akha women in Thailand were forced to take them in order to get ID cards for their children. In 1989, part of the USAID program in India uses a benchmark on how many pregnant women receive two tetanus toxoid shots during their pregnancy. That same year, the birth control vaccine was being tested in New Delhi. In 1995, schools are considered an important vehicle for population control education, and the UN releases a newsletter noting that population-related values and beliefs are being conveyed in hundreds of lessons in Indian school textbooks in all subject areas and at all three stages of India's education system, including kindergarten. In 1997, the World Bank begins a new program in India called the Reproductive and Child Health Project at a cost of $308.8 million. The final report for this project, released in 2005, notes that it was considered largely unsuccessful due to a number of factors. One, a cause of concern over the, quote, "lack of rise in permanent method contraceptive prevalence rate," permanent contraception. The The report also reveals the World Bank has conducted no less than 7 scientific birth control research projects in India under that program alone, including one where styrene maleic anhydride, a polymer, is injected into the male's vas deferens tube to inhibit sperm. Finally, the Indian government issues its new National Population Policy 2000. Key tenets of its action plan include making safe and legal abortion services more attractive to women, eliminating the current cumbersome procedures for registration of abortion clinics. The plan also pushes eugenics on the poor segment of its population with an open call to, quote, link the provision of continued facilities to urban slum dwellers with their observance of the small family norm, and that couples below the poverty line will be rewarded if they follow the new rules, including the adoption of a terminal method of birth control after the birth of their second child. The policy also notes that 97% of the sterilizations carried out in India are on women. So after 50 years of outside influence through organizations such as the United Nations, their World Health Organization, their Population Fund, the World Bank, the U.S. government, and a multitude of NGOs, including the Ford Foundation and the Rockefeller Foundation, which in its Population Council reports on India openly says its programmatic focus is to provide evidence to shape national policies and programs on reproductive health, this is what India has designed for itself.
One of the family planning goals in India has been met, as fertility has dropped drastically in the nation over the last half a century. Whereas it sat at 6.0 in the 1950s, it's sitting at just 2.58 today. And if reduced fertility and slowed population growth really automatically equaled economic growth, the way that the United States government, the United Nations, the World Bank, and these other NGOs claim, then why is it that India has the fourth largest economy in the whole world, and yet the per capita income, or income per person, is still just $1,500 US a year, with a third of the country living below the poverty level?
Today from India, we are seeing stories in the mainstream news of 98-year-old men coercively sterilized, presumably to reach family planning targets that never went away.
While in Madhya Pradesh's Rewa district, even the old have not been spared, these men, aged 98, 80, are being forced into sterilization by the village officials.
Other Indians have claimed they were either drugged or snatched off the street and forcibly sterilized, including one man who was denied a rabies shot for his dog-bitten son unless he got sterilized first.
Well, 25-year-old Raju, who had taken his 2-year-old son for an anti-rabies vaccine to Bhopal's JP Hospital, in fact, the treatment was given out to him only if Raju underwent the entire process of sterilization.
Sometimes an Indian state government will run a drive offering free cars or television sets in exchange for sterilization. And India's school textbooks are filled with propaganda, telling their children that the unemployed have nothing better to do than have sex and procreate.
Here is a nation where over 100 women can be sterilized and dumped in a field like it's no big deal, like they're just human pieces of garbage. Here is a nation where we can clearly see the social engineer's modern eugenics movement in all of its disgusting glory. And while InfoWars has reported on these kinds of stories before, we always get comments from people who say things like, well, India, China, those kinds of nations, they are overpopulated and they really do need to do something about that for the good of the earth or what have you. However, if that's the case, then we need to stop calling it family planning, stop calling it maternal health, and stop calling it human rights, and start calling it what it really is, eugenics and genocide. It's not a woman's right to be sterilized and thrown into a field like a piece of trash.
These aren't family planning targets or acceptors. They're human beings, and they're victims. As investigative eugenics writer Urien Mason of ExplosiveReports.com notes, we have to look at who sets the standards, provides the technology, recruits the medical personnel, and on a global level enforces these sterilization policies through binding treaties and other supranational strangleholds.
Part of the a great part of the people is occupied with the pretext and is not looking behind it.
Are these women's rights being upheld? Will your daughter's be? Will hers? This isn't just happening in India. This is happening all over the world.
The United Nations can and should play an essential role in helping the world find a satisfactory way of stabilizing world population, that growth is most efficiently managed by the private sector. But regulation of the process by national governments and international bodies is also needed. And once again, the United Nations should certainly be among the catalysts and coordinators of this process.
In the draft copy of the United Nations Global Biodiversity Assessment, it states very clearly that we must reduce the human population down to about 1 billion people.
When I started this report, I just wanted to find out how a horror story like this could show up in today's news like it's no big deal. What I found instead was a piece of a much darker global eugenics plan for mass population control. For InfoWars Nightly News, I'm Melissa Melton.
So please get this out to everybody that you know, because this isn't just happening in India. Like I said, this is happening in developing countries all over the world, and it's starting to come home now. You know those tetanus toxoid shots that I mentioned in the report? Well, just back in March of last year, they released a new report saying that pregnant women here in America can now have those, up to 3 while they're pregnant. And all the things that people think are so far away in other lands, they're coming home to roost. And this is not going to stop. These people are not going to stop. Alex all the time says how, you know, these people are crazy, insane globalists that want to kill us all. But until you read their white papers and see it for yourself, it's hard to really imagine that kind of evil. But it's there and it exists. So please get this report out to everyone you know. And the latest edition of the InfoWars magazine is now out. So pick one up at InfoWars store, InfoWarsShop.com. Get copies for your friends. Give those out. Get that information out. And that's it for tonight's broadcast. I've been your host, Melissa Melton. We will be back tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central, and stay safe.